the wire, some come out. God Almighty. You can't get your miracle. You can't get what you got pregnant in you to come out until you push. Look at somebody and say, push. Push is in you, but it won't come out if you don't push. Girl, that leads me to my final point. Troubles, ooh, thank you, God. It takes troubles to bring out of you something you didn't know you had.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT. Praising the Lord.
Greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You've just tuned in to the media ministry of New Zion Missionary Baptist Church of Winfield, Louisiana, pastored by Reverend Tramiel Ham. The Lord says in His Word that in 2 Timothy, preach the Word, be instant, in season and out of season. Listen now as our pastor preaches and teaches an in-season Word.
Are you dressed for church? It's important to look presentable. It's important to look like somebody. Because looking presentable is your way of showing the environment you're in, your level of maturity, professionalism, and sincerity to wherever it is you are presenting yourself. You want to look like somebody who wants a job? Dress accordingly. It would not make sense to have a tuxedo on and then play football. Understand the environment and then dress accordingly. It does matter how we look, how we present ourselves. Sure it does. No, everybody is different. No one looks exactly the same. But it is important that we understand and lift up our minds. That there'll be another sermon a different day. Lift up our thinking as to how we conduct and present ourselves to the world we live in. If we want to be taken seriously, we've got to look like somebody. If we want people to trust us with some things, how we come off matters a great deal. It's a truth that first impressions do indeed last a lifetime. You don't want your first impression, someone's first impression of you to be like, ooh. That's something you can't get back. I don't care how you try to recover. And I hope one day we'll be able to teach this to our young people and even our younger generation, that everything that is popular, everything that's fashionable is not your fit. Because how we adorn ourselves has a great deal to do with how we see ourselves. And if you have a personal standard for yourself, there are some things, I don't care how popular or fashionable it may be, it just doesn't fit me. If I get time one day, I'll talk to us more about that everything the culture does not line up with your character, maybe. Because then when you wear certain things, now you got to conduct yourself accordingly. And it's tough to try to dress like a thug and you grew up in church. It's tough to dress like the culture and deep down you pull your pants up when you leave them. But in order to adjust, in order to fit in, we will sometimes minimize standards in ourselves and not be who God called us to be. That's not just a word for our young people, it's a word for all of us. Because sometimes we live in this world and we try to be chameleons. We try to blend in and fit in with whoever we're around because we don't really like being labeled Christian. Truth be told, there is still in this society, in this day we live in, it's not really attractive. It's not really popular to say in certain circles that you belong to God and God belongs to you. And therefore, we will look a certain way, say certain things, so that we will not be identified as the people of God. Problem with that is, beloved, we get so caught up portraying this role that even creeps into home base. That even when we come to worship God in spirit and in truth, we still portray some things that may not look like a child of God. And the reason why I know this is the right word to share on today, this teaching, is because many of us have been here for 59 minutes in God's house, in the reverential God's house, in the almighty God's house, his chosen set tabernacle. We say that God has been good to us. We say that God is to be worshiped, praised, and adored. We say that God is a way maker. We've said that God is to be praised. God is our strength. We say all that, don't we? We know that God is our everything. And we come to his house on purpose. No one has compelled us unless you're 18 or under. And some of our young people, I understand why y'all face look the way y'all look. Because mama or dad or whomever made you come. And so I understand why y'all's mouth are stuck out for a minute, but my prayer is that one day you'll want to be in the house of God. But this is not primarily who I'm talking to. Be careful, adult. Be careful, parent or guardian, because these young people are feeding off of what you call your energy. If you drag your way to church, if you act like it does not matter to be here, if you act like it's a miserable chore to do, they're going to think accordingly. And so today we have survived another week. For instance, we have made it through another week. Some of you all have traveled on 4 inner tubes, rubber inner tubes, all week long. God said no to some accidents. God said no to some car problems. God said no to some danger. He allowed you to travel up and down the road all across this land. Some of you have worked on jobs and you still got it today. Some of you did not always clock in on time and you might have left early and you still got your job because God says keep on providing. Some of you have made it and been through some sickness and some difficulties in life, and God spared you one more week to make it back to his holy tabernacle. I believe today that we do have a lot of dope dealers, but I want to be a hope dealer today and tell you there is a place that God gives you hope, God gives you strength, God gives you power. And I believe that if I can just make it to the sanctuary, that's just me, I'm not putting it on you. If I can just make it back to the house of the Lord, I'll find my enthusiasm, I'll get my strength, I'll get some renewal, I'll get some, if I can just find my way to the house. See, sometimes, you know, online worship is good, looking at it on YouTube is good, looking at it on Facebook is good, but I need to feel the warmth, I need to feel the fire, I need to be embraced, I need to see other believers, and I need other believers to see me, and I look forward to making it to God's house one more time. And when I get here, I'm excited to be in God's house. But I look around, and I've spoken another 3 minutes past when I last checked, and some of y'all still have not smiled, have not lifted your eyes, have not lightened up, because we're not dressed for church. We are dressed in church, but we're not dressed for church. And the reason why we're not dressed for church, because the church is not dressed. We as the church are not dressed the way we should be. I know you looked in that mirror before you left. You should have, to make sure that if it don't match, at least it coordinates. Okay, you was in a hurry, couldn't find it, put in the drive, pop a couple wrinkles out, put it on, it's casual Sunday, don't matter no way. I'll put a jacket over it, anybody gonna be looking at me. You looked in that mirror, took one last look, and I know most of y'all went up to know, you wouldn't walk out the house unless you thought, I got them. This will blow them. I just might kill them today.
Then others of you say, well, it is what it is. I ain't got nobody to impress. As long as it's clean. And you put it on. Mm-hmm. And so you understand that in the society we live in, you can't leave naked. Therefore, you have to put on something just to cover you. And unfortunately, believers, spiritually, we're looking at it the same way. I'm not joyful. I'm not enthusiastic. I'm not empowered. I'm not faithful. But I just need something to cover me. Let me cover myself so that at 9:30 or 11 o'clock, when I look at them, they won't see the real me. Let me cover it with choir rehearsal. Cover it with a Bible study lesson. Cover it with a sermon just so they won't see me exposed. So I'm not really, some of us, if we're not careful, we're not clothed, we're just covered. We just got something on. But if we want God to get glory from our lives, my simple challenge to you today is to be clothed and dressed for church and not be dressed up for church. You know, we can be in uniform and not be in unity. And when people don't have a unified spirit, it don't matter what color you all wear, you go find a way not to come together. There are expectations that our God has for his church that has got to be more than what we're doing. My assignment today is show us that we ought to be dressed on our way here. Beyond here, after we leave here, so that by the time we come back here, we're more enthusiastic and excited. If we understood this properly, y'all don't mind if I just kind of, y'all ain't energetic. Well, I got to kill myself. So if we've got to figure out today, how do we dress and elevate our way of thinking and living so that the worship experience becomes more magnified, amplified, purposeful, and meaningful. Now, for some of you, you've already shut down. Can I tell you why? Because today's word has nothing to do with healing, provision, breakthrough, power, laying of hands, speaking in tongues. It's got to do a whole lot with your heart. And that's the one area we don't want anybody seeing, which is why we put too much on. If you just be real, you wouldn't have to overcompensate come Sunday. Some of us show out Sunday because we hadn't showed up all week long. Our letter today, the church at Colossae, Paul writes this letter to this church who had been saved, who had been blessed, who had been saved and received the gospel message. Y'all good with that? They received the gospel and become saved. But people came into the church from the outside, and they caught them at a good time where the church at Colossae was not necessarily sure about what they've been learning. And see, when you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. Somebody this morning, you're here, but you got another way of that somebody showed you, which is why you're not as enthusiastic anymore as you are as a Christian. Somebody showed you to be deep. Somebody showed you how to be smart. Somebody showed you it don't take all that, so you don't bring all that. Someone showed you another way to be. Now, what's interesting to me is that I'll see us today, and we're kind of here. We're kind of like in a lecture setting, waiting to see who's going to tell me something that's going to tickle my fancy, who's going to pique my interest. If the song, it meets my expectation of what I want to hear, if it is honey to my ears, then I may clap along. I may lift my hands, I may even arise and stand and go along with the harmony and the rhythmic nations of the drums and the keyboard. And if the sermonic presentation is something that I want to hear, if it's something that I have an appetite for, I may say amen. If not, I'm going to sit there until the end of this presentation, because you all have been spending time, preacher and music minister and percussionist, you should have been spending time figuring out how to make me happy come Sunday. You should have been spending time understanding how to be interesting and attractive to what I am. And if you don't do that, the problem is not with me, it's with you all. And if I don't get it, I'm going to give you 2 or 3 weeks of it, and if you don't ever attract me, I'm going somewhere else. Oh, I may not go nowhere. No, that's why I say there's always hypocrites at church. That's what I mean. There's always hypocrites at church. There's always backbiters. There are whoremongers at church. There are liars at church. But we're here. Yeah.
Missed it.
Now, if I was raised old school, I would tell you, it take one. Mm-hmm. It's amazing how y'all know everything about us, but you ain't one of us. Different story. Church at Colossae. Here come these false teachers. Here's the problem. They're teaching, but they're teaching false stuff. Be careful, because some false teaching on Snap. There's some false teaching on Facebook. Some false teaching in the break room that if you're not careful, you're listening to. And if you don't know nothing yourself, good God Almighty, good God from Zion, if you don't know no more than shouting, these false teachers go tear you up. If you don't know no more than crying out here and then go right back to being foolish, the world will whoop you. Church and ministry and worship has to be more than emotionalism. It is not my job to shout you and make you turn over flips and your heart ain't changed, your mind ain't renewed, and you ain't living with more victory. Sometimes I gotta love you enough through God's love to make you fight mad at me, but I'd rather you be mad at me than God be mad at both of us. And you gotta be careful. All these people telling you, because anybody with Wi-Fi now got a word. They call them content creators. And they'll be careful, because they'll lure you in with recipes. They'll lure you in with fashion. Next thing you know, you're sitting there watching, logging on, and it went from recipes to telling you about your faith. I asked you to show me how to make sliders. I asked you to tell me nothing about my salvation. Y'all, all this stuff we watching, and if we don't want to have a spiritual foundation, we getting messed up. I like advancing stuff. Can I just share? Y'all already bored, so I'm just kind of hang out with y'all for a minute. Cause see, hollering at us don't really do a lot of good. Sometimes guys gotta. We gotta be careful about who we let tell us stuff. It's interesting, Mr. Holmes. And I went back to coaching, and I got to prepare myself. Because come Friday nights used to always make me mad and happy. Because I'm a preacher and a coach. And I get frustrated. Because I'll see folk who will come to the house of God. And then come Friday, I'll see these young ladies scattered across the track with skirts and the tops matching, run all over the place, grinning. They done been to camp. They done been to practices. They wear tags, bells everywhere. I'm a cheerleader. I'm Dash Line, I'm Palm Line, and they call them spirit groups. And they specialize in raising the mood and the atmosphere of the crowd. And I can look at them same young ladies Friday, running and grinning with paws on their face and ribbons everywhere, and then come Sunday morning. I don't blame them, because they've been reared by folks who put money in that, time in that, effort in that, and watch what happens. That's why I try to stay focused on my game, the team, because if I look in them stands, I get messed up. Because here's what happens. This ain't the one I don't think they use now, but shoestrings, barber socks, short skirts, collars, all who are for the Tigers, stand up and holler. That ain't the shout. Do you know what happens? The whole stands. Woo! And we down 34-14 right there. And but we still fighting for our Tigers. Still, I've got spirit. Yes, I do. I've got spirit. How about you? But I was glad when they said unto me, let us come into the house of the Lord. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. All that's within me, bless his holy name. I will bless the Lord when? What y'all waiting on then? See that? But, y'all so fake, man. Sit down. I will tell y'all this. Y'all got good sense. You got good sense. If we understood this, we wouldn't need a praise team. We wouldn't need anybody to show us, because we already got enough information on our own. I don't need you to get me happy. I came in happy. I don't need you to help invite me to worship. I was waiting on you to get here with me. I came with on my mind to worship God. So the question is, are you dressed every day of your life? Because there's some days, no matter how much them children cheer, the scoreboard don't look good. But they still do it because they made a commitment to it. Mm-hmm. But I wonder, how come we keep giving God conditional? And every day of our life, we see evidence how he's been good to us. I came to make you mad. That's okay. I came to make you mad. We finna complain about all these fees and go pay them. Because come Friday, you want to see your baby perform. But I want to see them babies prosper. All right, so Paul says these false teachers came in, telling them and separating them on what they believe and separating them on what they know. Paul argues that Christ is the main thing. So in his first two chapters, he talks about Christ being the way to salvation, Christ being supreme, Christ being preeminent. I mean, Christ is what we're here for. False teachers come in saying the world evil, the world is evil, people are evil, ain't nothing good but your soul. So they got real smart and realized it does not matter what you do come Sunday, does not matter how you live your life, because your destiny is already sealed and ain't nothing you might well wait till you die. And they worshiped angels. These group of people were called Gnostics. The G is silent. Somebody say Gnostics. That way y'all can't say Ham ain't taught you nothing ever. They're called Gnostics. Now, ever if I catch you saying Gnostics, I'm going to get you. It's not Gnostics. They're called Gnostics. The G is silent. And they focus on knowledge. They got real smart, but they had no faith. And they had a sense of, a special type of faith, but it was faith misdirected. And they were directed and they worshiped angels. And they felt like anybody who fooled with flesh, anybody who fooled with humans could not be worthwhile. Anything that fooled with us and our mortal souls, our mortality, anything that deals with this earth was already corrupt and evil. That's a problem for our faith, because your Bible teaches you and our faith teaches us that God say, I love them so much and I'm going to wrap myself up in humanity and I'm going to come occupy this world for 33 years. I'm going to heal the sick. I'm going to open up blind eyes. I'm going to open up deaf ears. I'm going to raise the dead and I'm going to mess around and die for all their sins. And I'm going to get up on that third day morning with all power in my hand. I'm going to come and look like them. I'm going to come and eat with them. I'm going to come and walk around them. I'm going to come and worship with them. I'm going to teach them. That's what God said I'm going to do. Gnostics say Jesus was nothing more than an intermediary. They say Jesus couldn't have been the Son of God, because why would God come and fool with this? Anything with this was already headed to destruction. But that does not measure to what you believe, does it? Because you know and believe that God loved the world, that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes should not perish but have everlasting life. Now, you know the reason why y'all ain't get happy about that? Because I ain't saying nothing about a house. I ain't saying nothing about a car. I ain't saying nothing about no man. I ain't saying nothing about no woman. I ain't saying nothing about getting no enemy back. I'm just talking about your soul already headed for heaven, and your soul ain't going to hell. But God loved you enough to come down here to this hellish, sin-sick, evil world and still save your won't say amen self, won't still give God glory. He still loved you enough that while you were yet sinners, he still died for our sins. Yes, he did. And I believe it and I know it, because every day of my life I experience resurrection power of God. There are some days I don't feel good, but I keep on trusting God and I pray to God and he'll resurrect my mindset. Anybody been through that? There are some times I start out with the bad and God will turn around for my good, because God got resurrection power in his people. There are some days that you start out sick and you end up healed because of the resurrection power. Oh, anybody experience resurrection in your own life? But these false teachers will tell you just be smart. Here's the problem with smart folks like that. They smart, but they empty. So even now, they're sitting back challenging. I don't know if that's true. Let me go Google that. Here's my only problem with Google. Genesis 1 says, in the beginning, God. 2008, Google. In the beginning, God. 2008, Google. So how Google go tell God, and God has something to do with Google? I'm trying. How all this temporary stuff can teach some eternal? How you letting temporary stuff make you forfeit what you know is eternal? Here is why I love, one of the reasons I love my God. You know how many attacks come against God's church? Since Acts chapter 2, there have been attacks. Acts chapter 4, there have been attacks toward God's church. And do you know that bad boy is still standing today?
Y'all missed your, all these woke folk, all these inner, all these people coming in with different things, all these old interest groups, all these different evil things, and God's church still stands because he said, upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail. You can come with your new doctrine, we're going to still stand. You can come with your new way of believing, we're going to still stand. It may be two or three of us, but that's okay, because Jesus said, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst. You keep fighting it. You keep lying on it. You keep attacking it. You ain't got to be a part of it. It's going to still be a church. Sure is. Ham. Let me hurry. Let's talk. I ain't come to do this. Let's talk. Now you hold me accountable, man. I said, let's go talk. If I cut up, blame Matt. He is my personal handler. He's been given his assignment for the week. And all he gonna do is that right there. Just sit there. Here it is. If you're dressed for church, here's what we gotta look at. Y'all ready? Determine if we're dressed for church. Let's look at suggested attire. The suggested attire. Since we need to be dressed for church, since we need to be the people of God clothed properly, Paul says something interesting in verse number 12. He says, put on. Missed it. He says, clothe yourself. Verse number 12. Y'all see it? Go to verse 12 for me. Since we cutting up this technology now, man. Look here. Go to verse 12 for me. I say we cutting up with this technology, man. Verse number 12 says, put on. Y'all with me? Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved. Put on. Now, here's the problem. Oh, we up now? Look, you see it? Now I can say it emphatically. We cutting up this technology up here, man. Put on, therefore. Now, which finger did you just stick up telling me it was all right? I can't remember. Was it a thumb? Okay, all right. Put on. Therefore, as the elect of God. The elect of God means that those God has saved and separated. Those God has saved and sanctified. The elect of God. Society says the rich. America says the certain ones in a certain tax bracket. But in God's kingdom, those that I've saved. Those that I've kept, those I've redeemed, those I've prospered, those I've prepared. I'm going to ask you, is anybody today happy to be the elect of God? I may not be people's choice, but thanks be to God on this second Sunday, August 10th, I'm still God's choice. Even at my lowest, I'm still God. I wish somebody could happen. People are always going to see what's wrong with me, but God sees what I can be and who he wants me to be. I am the elect of God. I'm just teaching this. I'm just teaching real quick. He says, watch this now. He says, put on, therefore, as the elect of God. Here's your motivation. You want to know why you need to put on the right clothes? Because God saved you. If that don't motivate you, no money, no position is ever going to motivate you. For the sincere fact, God looked beyond my faults and sees every last one of my needs. For the very fact that I was sinking in sin and love lifted me. For the very fact I was in a ditch, but God brought me out. For that very fact, what motivates me is knowing I once was blind, but now is anybody motivated today? Anybody enthusiastic to say, the reason I do what I do is because God spared me. Now, watch this. You won't get happy unless you know what God saved you from. Woo! And Romans teaches us that we were at enmity with God. We were initially separated from God, which means, according to the Bible, our problem was not the devil. Our problem was God. We have been saved from God's wrath. I don't mean to teach no doctrine. I ain't come to teach the doctrine today. But we have not been saved from the devil. We got saved from God. Because if you don't belong to God, one of these old days, people going to experience God's wrath. That means you going to hell in a handbasket. That means there will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. But thanks be to God, you said yes to God, and you will never have to go to hell. And that's your motivation. Now, you're going to have some tough days, even say. Yes, you are. You're going to have some stuff going on in your life. Woo! So here it is. You already saved, but now we're working to be sanctified. That means that we're working to be more like Jesus every day of our life. It's kind of like cleaning fish. He done caught us, but somebody got to clean us. Get them scales off. Get that nasty stuff off that we can be fit. I wish I had somebody. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God. I want somebody to get this. People done beat some of y'all down. I come to minister somebody. People got you thinking that you know more than your job. You know more than what happened to you. You know more than your color. But God says, no, I saved you for a reason. They are not your God. I am your God. They say you never be nothing. Tell them put you in my hand and watch what I do with you. I can take a prostitute and make them a preacher. I can make a user and make them an usher. I can make a crook and make them a choir member. I can turn it around. Home of Jesus. Anybody experience the change of God? That now you used to be that, but I don't live there anymore. I don't live in my past. Now, if you want to live in my past, that's your business. But God brought me out. God brought me through. Yeah. Hold on. Hold on. As the elect of God. So he says, if you belong to me, it's just certain ways you ought to be. Watch this. Here it is. It's not a certain way you just ought to be. There's a certain way you want to be. That means if I'm saved, ain't nobody got to force me to come to worship. God done spared my soul. Any chance I get to bless his name, I'm going to take advantage of it. I wish I had one of them moments on earth. I grew up, grandma's raised me, so I wish I had them moments about 10 o'clock when they would come. I always just imagine that bum 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 when Wheel of Fortune, not Wheel of Fortune, Price is Right, but come on, and that man, well, tell them what they want, Johnny. I always wanted somebody to tell me what he won. I want, come on down. You're the next contestant on the Price is Right. Do y'all see how all them white folks, black folks, blue folks, when you call their name, how they come on down? Come here. God calls your name this morning. Come on down and see blessing. Come on down and see favor. Come on down and get renewal. Come on down and get restoration. Come on down and get salvation. You're the next contestant. Oh, Paradise is Right. Hey! Let me quit. Put on. Because we already understand we can't go walk out here naked. No, ma'am, no, sir. You can't do that spiritually. And you sure can't do it naturally. The chief will lock you up after he look and lock you up and throw away the key. Put on. I told you I was going to get you. I told you I was going to get you, and the Lord opened the door. Put on, therefore. Y'all see it? Put on. Therefore, as the elect of God, and God calls you holy and beloved. Woo. Holy means I've separated you. Beloved means I still love you. I love you beyond your mistake. I beloved you. I knew you did that. I knew you thought that, and I still saved you. I know you ain't no good. That's why I saved you. I know you was dirty. That's why I cleaned you up. I know you was crooked. That's why I straightened you. I knew you was messed up. That's why I brought you up. Tell your neighbor, that's why. That's why you ain't died yet. Tell your neighbor, that's why you ain't went to jail yet. Tell them that's why. Because God's plan is bigger than your problem. Here it is. He says, put on, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy. Now, I'm not a science teacher. But I have lived enough biology to know that bowels
<Get it right. laughs>
come from the inside. Y'all with me? It's an internal thing. There's some cooking in there. Is that clean enough? Y'all know what I mean by bowels now, right? Your innermost part, what Paul is saying, the innermost part of you that you put on bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. I'm going to get there in a minute. But watch this. In order to put on and dress for church, you got to take off something. Every last one of us who were not born saved. If you were born saved, raise your hand. I wish y'all would. Chief, put your hand down. None of us were born saved, which means we had some clothing on us. We had some old man. Go real quick for me. The verses 6, 7, and 8. Sister Cornelia, be on mine. Verse 6, 7, and 8. While we wait, this service is brought to you by the New Zion Missionary Baptist Church. 430 West Jones Street, Winfield, Louisiana, 71483. Phone number 318-628-6166. Now back to your regular scheduled programming. Colossians chapter 3, verse 6 says, which things sake the wrath of God comes on the children of disobedience. Next. Also, we're sponsored by Popeyes. Love that chicken from Popeyes. Verse 7, in the which ye also walked some time when you lived in them. Next. But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication, out of whom mouth? That means with your deep self. Oh, with your holier than thou self. I need you to do me a favor. We're going to let God help us for a minute. Unplug your halo real quick. And realize that if God hadn't saved you, everything coming from you, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. And in other words, what Paul is saying, it was on you because it was in you. And because you ain't did what was in you, it stayed on you. But God done gave you power since he saved you. You got power to take it off you. You ain't no 12-step program. You ain't got to go find nobody younger to fix your life. But you got a word in your heart. You got a spirit living in you. And you say, God gave me the strength to get rid of this anger. I'm tired of getting mad at work. I'm tired of people walking away from me when they see me. I'm not going to lie and say I'm a change agent. I'm just full of hell all the time. I'm just mad to be mad. Lord, deliver me from me. I'm not going to blame mama. I'm not going to blame daddy. I'm not going to blame husband. I'm not going to blame wife. Lord, it's me who got a problem. Get off wrath. That's mishandled anger. Paul tells us in Ephesians, be angry, but sin not. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. He says, because anger go happen, but I don't have to put it on. When anger try to come jump on my head, try to jump on my heart, I got the power to say, no anger, not today. Because if I don't deal with that anger, it's going to become wrath. And not what's wrong with me, I'm going to bleed on everybody else. I'm going to take out my madness on somebody else. I'm going to bring work home and bring home to work mad at everybody. Now everybody mad at me. Ooh, hell. I'm going to take off malice. And can I bring that malice? That's premeditated mess. That's just wanting to see division. That's just wanting to see people mad. That's just wanting to see stuff negative, malicious. People who do hurt, harm on purpose. Can anybody thank God he saved you? Because that was in you before he saved you. Blasphemy. That which disrespects the spirit and God himself. That's what is disrespectful. Cussing and saying his name in vain. Stuff like that. And filthy communication out of your mouth. That which is damaging. That which condemns. That which never builds up but always destructive. That what was on you before God saved you. And here's the scary part. That ain't all that was on you.
There y'all go.
Oh, not me. Now, here's the shout. Y'all ready for this? Y'all ready for this? This ain't the shout. It's really the shift. It's about to get real quiet. What do you do with folks who say they church and still angry?
Try again.
What you do with us church folk? Shouting, speaking in tongues, lay hands, all over the place, and still full of anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, and filthy communication. What I want you to do is stop getting mad at folks who are like that. Realize they just not church. They got on different clothes than you. They may have on the same uniform, but they don't have on the same clothes. Because some people are comfortable wearing that. We get mad at these young people because how can they put these sweatshirts and hoodies on? In this kind of weather. But it don't make sense to us that they wear that hot as it is. But they found a way to be comfortable. Sometimes we wonder, how can you be in church like this and still full of hell? Because you're comfortable. How can you sit up on all this word and you still can't get along with nobody? It's because you're comfortable. How can you be in a place talking about fellowship and friendship and you don't like nobody, won't let nobody like you? You isolate yourself. You know why people do that? Because they're comfortable wearing that. Ain't this good teaching? People won't. I'm going to tell you something I know about most of us. We know better. We're just comfortable. I mean, getting mad. Take that sweatshirt off high as it is. Why? I'm comfortable like this. And they'll tell you, you ain't got to wear it. And guess what some of us tell God every week, telling each other? You ain't got to wear it. Leave me alone. I'm comfortable being mad. I'm comfortable with my face like this. I'm comfortable being irritable. This is what I wear. And this is what I want on. I'm trying to help somebody because it blows y'all mind. Though. It confused, well, me, confused me. Me, I'm like, I know God I'm teaching. I know I'm preaching this thing. And Lord, I know she just got through hollering. Lord, I just saw her holler and say, that's your word, that's the word, Pastor. Preach, man of God. And we're right time church over. Went back to rolling her eyes. And I'm be honest with you. I be starting to think, I'm going crazy. Until the Lord showed me they want to wear that. So he says, take it off. Now let's go back to verse 12. Verse 12 says, put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved by God, bowels of mercies. It's the complete antithesis of what we read, verses 6, 7, 8. Put on those, take off that stuff, but you can't go out unexposed, exposed. Put on something. Put on now, as the elect of God, bowels of mercies. From the inside out, mercy. Because, see, I'm saved, right? And if I'm saved, God has given me his spirit. I'm not just saved because I got in that water. I'm saved because I've been baptized by the Holy Ghost, in the Holy Ghost, with the Holy Ghost. Kindness. It's a contradiction of term to say mean Christians. Because how are you a Christian and mean?
Now, there was a day it was acceptable because we ain't know any better. I grew up under, and I'm not saying, this ain't none of y'all. I just grew up under mean ushers. I came up under mean, because I was good in Baptist. Ain't that right, Cassandra? We were good Baptists. And I couldn't figure out how all these ladies with these white dresses could see you at that door, turn around through that window, and look at you like you about to fall, or don't let you come in, come snatch that gum out your hand, come pop you upside your head when you're talking. I did it. Yeah, I was doing it. But you had to hit me that hard, did you? I'm guilty. I was talking, shouldn't have been. But did you really have to act like that? And then, after they done got me, sermon go forth, he done got them fans. Praising God. And it confused a young boy, because what I experienced was mean. But not in here shouting, speaking in tongues. They ain't the words she gave me back then in the back. And it hit home until I realized my mother was an usher. Now it started making sense. You one of them. Because there's a way to do anything. Y'all mad? There's a way to do anything. At home, on the job, not just at church. There's a way to tell them, pick up your socks, baby. See, that ain't black mommering. I know it's not a word, but that's not black mama-ing. Pick them up the floor. If I got to tell you one more time, I'm sick of y'all. And then that goes into a whole story. See, I gave my whole life and my soul for y'all. I dedicated everything for y'all. And I ain't wake up in the morning with all that hell at work and with all that, they gonna come here and deal with some children who won't pick up their socks. Get free today. Children, get free. Your pastor got your back today. Sick of y'all. You're like your stupid daddy. And how many times you want to say, you the one fool with daddy? Don't do it. Don't do it. Reconsider. There's a way to be kind. It's not just TV moms who can be kind. Y'all mad. Correct, don't abuse. Teach and whoop. Whoop and teach. Mix it up. You know, sometimes you eat your burger, then you fry, and you fry, then your burger. It's up to you which order you do it in, just do them both together. Don't just beat them children for nothing. Now come here. What you expect them to be able to tell you right now? You took their breath. Kindness. Sir, you ran in front of me in the road there. Kindness suggests, whew, thank God that he spared me. Us? Oh, hell no. Come on. Y'all come. And the church said, amen. Yeah.
They weren't the devil. They just a little bit of bad driving. And how I handle it and how I handle them is going to reflect Jesus or the other nut that you said you took off. So here's what I want you to do. We all got to do this together. Keep the old clothes away. As far away from you as possible. If you keep them close by, you'll put them on when you get in the tight. I'm trying to help somebody. Keep the old man far away from you. Stop saying stuff like, I can go there now. Don't get it twisted. I can go there. Because guess what you're going to want? You're going to want to go there. And you're going to want to put that on. Now we come to have a prayer meeting at prison. Putting on, taking off. Here's the problem with that. It's a choice you make. To put on or take off. I got to quit. Put on. Bowels of mercy. It's going to be another part two, seems like. Kindness. Humbleness of mind. That when you put on the new man, you're not all that. And I'm not trying to be all that. Old man was selfish. New man is selfless. Who did I tell you in the introduction this was all about? Paul arguing in Colossians is all about who? Y'all weren't listening. Y'all ain't listening to me and I got through telling y'all. I see y'all don't want me hollering at y'all like that. So learn to listen. Not no good way. I'm a doggone hour. And y'all can't even tell me Jesus. Who is Colossians all about? Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, boys and girls. Try me again here. Yeah? Humbleness of mind. So it can't be about me, then God. A person who's living a self-centered life is going to always be about self and never care about anybody else. You can't be sanctified and selfish. It's a shame that when we go places and when we have company here, that we got to tell members, let the visitors go first. Come for Sunday, around 4:30, 4:45, I'm about to get up and say, Zionite, we know. Let our company, our visitors, go first. Because if not, Carolyn, cut me a little sliver of cake. I had my medicine. You knew you needed your medicine. You with me? Still with me? All right. You knew you needed your medicine. You just selfish, and you smelled it. I got to get to it. I don't care about no company. You start counting guests. It's enough for me too. Taking carryouts before we even carry it in. That's selfish. Storing stuff up. We done found plates and food all in the cabinets in the baptismal pool that y'all be trying to hide out. Looking out for people who don't even think enough of the church to come. And you saving them chicken breasts and peas and cake. I done found a whole cake, you know, the cake platter, the one you get from Brookshire's, the one that you can't sneak, make that loud noise when you open it. Pow! Y'all know what I'm talking about? Try to sneak that one here and see what, pow! Everybody know, yeah, you ended upside down cake in there. Listen, too selfish. Selfish. But when you put on a new man and I'm dressed for church, I don't care if they eat at all. I got food at the house. If we don't, I'm okay. I always want to make sure I show hospitality. That's not saying, don't go lie and say, pastor, say members can't eat. That ain't what I said. But always show hospitality. And we do be, and I always try to make sure we plan to have more than enough. But I can't have more than enough if y'all done took more and hid it.
I better leave this alone because I'm about to go somewhere. And you, the kids tell on you because they run right in here with that chicken leg. We said, don't nobody bother.